Welcome to Potty Mouth Poopcast. I'm your co-host, Sarah Sophia Serrato.
And I'm Carla Serrato. And today's episode is about millennials ruining everything.
Yeah, don't they though?
Yes.
No and yes.
No and yes. Like, screw you. Millennials are great and they're attractive and Sarah just telling me to face one direction.
I know. It's like she's having a conversation with everyone in the room, even though there's no one in the room. So she'll like look to her left, look to her right.
Poking stuff.
It's like she doesn't have any experience on being on a microphone.
Hey. So this episode, we're going to talk about generations. Mm-hmm. What does it mean? Why are they? When are they? For what purpose? And we'll have some fun along the way. So, buckle up, because some feathers may be ruffled.
Ooh, feathers.
Bumpy road. So, according to Wikipedia...
Oh, we're diving right in.
I don't know. Oh, yeah, we usually talk, don't we?
A little bit, yeah. Just,
okay, okay.
But, I mean, we don't have to.
Well, how's it going? How is life? What's been going on?
I still don't have a job. Hey. Thanks, COVID.
Or are you a millennial?
Why?
We don't have jobs.
Oh.
Or if we do, we...
That's another thing the millennials ruined, right? It was the whole, like...
The workplace?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. We'll get to that. We'll dive into that.
Okay, cool.
We ruined everything. Apparently.
What's up with you?
What's up with me? I'm here and alive. And that's all anybody needs to know.
You want to tell people that you're selling your house? Like, that's a whole new adventure.
Yeah, but I don't want to get into it too bad.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm selling my house in Chicago. It's bittersweet. I was there yesterday and it had already been emptied out by the moving trucks and stuff. But there are like, there's just a little pile of things that I'm like, I can't, you know, I didn't want them to take.
Yeah.
So there are like things here and there in the house, but it's mostly empty.
Whoa.
And it's kind of like, it kind of hit me yesterday that I'm like, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to drive here and like come home,
yeah.
You know, like this isn't going to be my house anymore. And I kind of got a little angry about it, like jealous and like pissed that someone else was going to be in my home.
Ooh, yeah.
And they get to keep my chandelier.
Like,
I mean, that was my decision. I decided to let go of it.
Mm-hmm.
But still,
they're going to be like, put things in places that you wouldn't put things and design things weird.
Exactly. Paint the walls. Like, they might change something. And I was mostly like, also like, oh, I don't know. I was just like, oh, it was a very well situated in terms of commutes.
Distance wise.
Yeah. I really liked that I could still be in Chicago and be, you know, a very, very short, car ride from anywhere in the city and relatively short car ride from anywhere in the suburbs.
Right. And short to us is, you know, like, half an hour.
Yeah. Well, like 10 minutes to half an hour from anywhere that I want to be.
Yeah. Because like some people, they're like, oh, it's really close. They're like, oh.
A block away. Nah.
3 minutes. No, literally. I remember Christy had like, because she was from here too, you know, and then she moved to Colorado for a really long time.
Yeah.
And I remember her telling me one time something about, like, how something was close. And I'm like, oh, cool. You know, and then, oh, no, when she came to visit, I'm like, yeah, it's really close. And it took, like, 15 minutes to get there. And she's like, are you kidding me? This is forever. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, everything in Colorado, at least the place she lived, is, like, within 5 minutes. And she's like, if you're not there in 5 minutes, that's not close.
Yeah,
I'm like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, it's your...
I mean, I consider an hour a decent amount of distance to go.
So it's all about perception,
I guess.
Yeah. So I'm feeling feels now.
Yeah.
So
are you feeling some grief feelings?
Should we not turn this around?
No, that's fine.
Yeah, I might. I might. So that's wonderful. More things to feel. Awesome.
Great.
Just what I
want. More emotions.
More emotions.
Just throw them in their case.
Yep.
Glass case of emotions.
Yep. So it's gonna be weird. Not having that house anymore, but that's okay because I feel like that's going to open up an opportunity to once I'm done like hating the city. Well, not that I hate it, but like after the pandemic and all of the rioting and stuff, that fear. Mm-hmm. I still want, I somehow, for some reason, want a place there. But then I also am like, there are other places. I remember thinking, like, when I traveled a few times that I do, mm-hmm. like, oh my God, there's a whole other world out here. There's other places you can live, and they're pretty, and they have all the things that you like from the city. So, again, I like the opening up of opportunities to buy elsewhere.
Yeah.
Or buy a different place, a new place in the city, much more attuned to what I want.
Yeah.
Like the... Those, you know, the three-story buildings, the one, like, the one my dad had in Pilsen.
Oh, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. something more along the lines of what I truly want in a city
experience
building. Yeah.
Okay.
You know? Because, like, I remember, as wonderful as that house was that we had in Chicago, mm-hmm. I really missed, like, I really didn't want that, truly. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if I'm going to live in the city, I want city living.
Yeah.
And same I wasn't not walking distance from a train, from a bus, but it wasn't as convenient. Like I would have, if I wanted to get anywhere that I needed to be, it was going to be at least two transfers and like an hour commute to get to somewhere I can get in 20 minutes if I drove.
Yeah.
And you know, it ended up being more expensive having to use the gas instead of public transportation to like my auditions and stuff like that, which is what I liked about being in the city. You can just, you know, it would have been nice to just be able to
Hop on the L
from wherever I am, and maybe, like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The L is our train system here in Chicago.
Yeah. Well, if you don't know that in general, just turn what? Off some the podcast.
People can, some people are listening from, like, Asia and stuff.
Oh!
I looked at the map the other day.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, now that I've droned on about that.
Yeah, sure. All right, let's get into what we talking about. Well, thank you for sharing, Carla.
Yeah, thanks for bringing
you're
it up,
what's
I
happening.
Guess. Yeah.
All right. So, yes, millennials ruin everything.
They do.
Tell us some of the things that they ruin. Or, you know what? What is a millennial, Carla?
Well, I don't know why I did all of the research. Mm-hmm. We usually split it up.
Yeah.
But then again, you've been doing a lot of other stuff. So, this is going to be Carla's podcast. And I don't like
Look
that
at
pressure.
All these notes, Carla.
I don't like the pressure.
Look at all these notes.
I hope so.
The only other time I've written these many notes was when we did the live haunted bathrooms episode.
Oh, well, yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of those.
A lot of notes. Yep.
A lot of notes. Okay. All right. Generations.
Mm-hmm.
Generations, and this is from Wikipedia, straight out. A generation is defined as a cohort of people born within a similar span of time.
Okay.
And I noticed this. It was anywhere from like 7 to 15 years, this span of time.
Okay.
Yeah. Who share a comparable age and life stage and who are shaped by a particular span of time, like events and trends and developments.
Mm-hmm.
So generations are used to examine like economic trends and social changes over time.
Okay.
Demographers compare like these groupings of people
mm-hmm.
Bracketed by their birth year. And it like the generation is defined by when this group of people come of age.
Okay.
So like
okay.
tween through 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
yeah. So millennials graduated high school during the year 2000.
Okay.
And there were these dudes, of course, named Neil Howe and William Strauss, mm-hmm. who coined the term millennial. And I mean, the proof, I guess, of the fact that they came up with it
mm-hmm.
is that Howe and Strauss wrote a book about millennials, and that's how they came up with it because they were like, oh, they graduated high school in the year 2000, millennial.
Oh,
yeah.
I get it now. See, yeah. I had not connected that.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
What did you think? Why did you think that it was millennials?
I don't know. Just
because there were like a million of them?
No. Just because, I don't know, fun word.
Oh my God, I have to take a picture of your stupid face.
You're so mean.
Not your face, but the face, your face. Your face when you found out that millennials is because of the millennium.
I have other things to think about, okay?
I really need to examine this, though. kind of like, because this is a bombshell for me. Kind of like Manny with his drugs. What? This whole time. The whole time, Peter.
Yeah. Daniel.
No, seriously, like, why? Well, but why did you think it was called Millennials?
I don't know. I guess it's like, maybe I feel like my subconscious knew, but I wasn't like holding that information in my brain. You know what I mean?
I guess. Yeah, okay.
It wasn't like anyone ever asks me, like, hey, you know, the millennium just happened. So, you know, that's what, look at all these millennials.
Yeah. Okay.
You know?
Yeah, it's like somebody saying, look at that cowboy, and you not realizing that they had something to do with cows, you know?
Right. It's like you know, but you don't necessarily carry the information.
Oh. Well, I'm just gonna let this blow my mind.
Okay.
And we'll move on.
Little explosions in your brain as you're trying to continue.
Yeah. Yeah, my neurons are exploding. Okay. Okay. Well, so we're also known as the Generation Y. And I actually, the way I can remember that, it's because it's like, why? Generation Y?
Or
like W-H-Y.
Yeah.
Why?
Bobby will enjoy this. Why? Why? What the fuck? It's Generation Why?
It's Generation Why. What's a hute?
He sent me a clip of of a pastor or one of those people, the preachy people. What are they called?
A pastor?
Yes. That yes, okay. That
pasture
like those from the 90s, I think.
Okay,
and he's like giving a sermon, and they just cut the part like all together of him saying, "Yeah,
why,
why?"
That's pretty great.
It's really funny. I'll show it to you after.
Okay. Well, that's pretty funny. Now that I know who's saying, but yes, it sounds like a southern why, why.
Wah, wah,
wah. Yeah.
Sounds okay. Like bad karate.
Can we just wah. Do? Should we just say wah the resin? Oh, God, yeah.
Wah.
I've had enough.
Oh. That was me.
Sarah's like judo chopping over here at my face in my general direction.
That's so funny.
Wah. She keeps doing it.
It's because it's hilarious.
Oh, man.
Okay,
continue. We got a lot to get through.
I know. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Serious face now. Serious face. Oh, yeah. So, we are known as Generation Y, but, you know, millennials is... Fuck you. It's more appropriate.
Okay, I'm sorry. Take that again.
We're known as Gen Y,
mm-hmm.
And... But mostly, we are known as millennials. And... The reason why is because the one before us was Generation X, which I did not know. I thought before us was just the boomers.
Oh, no. See, I knew that. There's a whole
generation in between us and the boomers, and it just so happens that they are also called, known as Generation Bust, because it was a bust after the big boom of the baby boomers.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many baby boomers that then the next generation was so few of them, they coined the term Generation Bust.
Oh.
It was a bust.
See, I don't see that as few. I see something that's busting. It's like a lot. That's like when you're busting out of your bra, you know, it's like overflowing. Boob.
Well, it should tell you a little bit about how old they are, because they use the term bust. California or bust?
Yes, yeah. Our friend Eric, he's
Gen X.
Yeah.
Aww.
He is.
Yeah. Well, guess what?
What?
Gen Xers
blame
the boomers for everything that went wrong.
Yes, of course. That's because that's real.
You think it's true?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll delve into that in a second. And of course, millennials blame everything on the, well, also on the boomers, but on their parents. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, like the next generation, Generation or Gen Z, are going to do the same. They're going to do the same. and after that is Gen Alpha. So we fall.
See, that'd be cool.
What?
To be Gen Alpha. Because just that's a cool name.
It's a awesome fucking name.
Uh-huh.
Assholes. My kid's an asshole. Yeah, that's
true. Max, you're an asshole. Gen Alpha.
Yeah.
Alpha Gamma.
So
Delta.
I wanted to quickly.
Are you sure about the quickly part?
Well, I thought I had it up.
That's what she said.
Oh, damn it. To hear. So I want to quickly let you know mm-hmm. that the boomers, anyone born between 1946 and 1964,
okay,
Generation X, or the baby bust,
mm-hmm.
is 1965 to
1979. Okay.
Zennials were born between 1975 and 1985. Notice.
Yeah, that's why
the
we're
gap, or the overlap. Overlap.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have been like a Zennial and still born, also born in 1975. Like, you know, there's a overlap between Generation X and Zennials, mm-hmm. which we didn't talk about. Zennials is this teeny tiny little,
like an overlap.
Overlap. Yeah. These are the overlappers, the Zennials, because they're between Generation X, or the baby bust, mm-hmm. and Millennials. So these are your older, they're your cool older friends.
Yeah, as in us.
Oh, fuck you.
Yeah. What?
We could be. We do. We are in an overlap.
Yeah, we're in the millennial bracket, but we're in that Zennial bracket because we're in the 80s, like 83, 85.
Yeah. So let me keep going. So okay. Zennials was 1975 to 1985. Millennials, or Generation Y, Gen mm-hmm. Next, is 1980 to 1994. So yeah, there's again that overlap where you're, you know, Zennials and Millennials are one. So the biggest difference is technology and how uh-huh. we relate to the world and other people.
Right.
And so we'll get into that.
Okay.
But that's Millennials. The 80s, 1980 to 1994.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And the youngest of the millennials today would be around 26 and as old as 40, early 40s.
What? Really?
Yeah, 40. Like 40.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I guess that makes sense.
5 years older than us.
Mm-hmm. If I met someone from like that was like in their 40s or was 40, I would be like, just like, what? You're a millennial? You know, that would just feel so weird, even though I'm very close to that age.
I know.
Yeah. I don't feel old.
I know, but the year 2000 was 20 years ago. 19, 20.
How dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah, a whole adult ago.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole person's to adulthood life ago. Yep.
Yep. Insane.
In the membrane.
See, that's definitely very Zillennial or Zennial.
Yeah, yep. I don't even know what that's from, but I remember hearing it.
It's from a song,
it.
Yeah, on B96.
Oh, my God.
Insane in the membrane.
Oh, I do remember
Insane
that.
Insane in the brain.
Oh, my God, yeah. Okay, oh, my God. I mean, I don't remember that. What are you talking about? All right, so the next couple that I just want to go through real quick mm-hmm. is Gen Z or iGen. And those are the kids that are coming of age now.
Okay.
So the youngest would be around 8. Oh. And the oldest, 25-ish.
Okay.
So in their mid-20s. Yup.
Yep.
They're starting to reach the, oh my God, what am I going to do with my life?
Oh,
and
Jesus.
Like, oh, I've got it all figured out. Kind of, but not really. Like online I do, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gen Alpha, which are the kids.
Yeah.
The wee little children that were born between 2013 and will be born 2025. Till 2025. Mm-hmm. So that's maximum. Mm-hmm. So the youngest would be around 1.
Ooh.
And the oldest is 7-ish.
Okay.
So.
They're so little still.
I know. Isn't it the cutest?
They better fix the world.
They better. Because. I mean. And that's the thing. Is that these cycles keep repeating.
Mm-hmm.
Although. There is a strong. Opinion. All around. From like the 5 articles I read that boomers are really the ones that everyone's blaming for all of the problems that we're trying to fix now.
Yeah.
slash trying to live with because it's not fixable.
Yeah.
So that's anything why the phrase, to add to that.
Thanks, boomer, kind of happened around too.
I mean, I remember when I started to hear about that, I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Okay, boomer. I'm like baby boomer? Like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. Like, why? Why? And it was so offensive to me. I'm like, excuse you, child. I'm a millennial, and don't you dare call me a boomer. No one said it to me, but mm-hmm. I heard it, and I took it personally, as I tend to never do. Sarcasm is also a big thing that millennials do, apparently. That's how we cope.
Is it?
Yeah.
Get yeah. it. I sarcasm right there.
So we use, so another reason that we have generations and what describes them and stuff, mm-hmm. which, by the way, they're different from country in other countries.
Oh,
something that I also discovered.
See, that is such an American thing of me to do.
Such an American thing to do.
Just to assume that that's what it is all around the world. Yeah.
It pretty much is in terms of like, yeah, there's generations, like physically speaking, like mm-hmm. one generation has babies. That's one. Mm-hmm. And then the babies are the other.
No,
generation,
I know. But like, so on and so forth. I mean that like, for example, in like France, that they call themselves millennials, or in Turkey,
yeah,
when they probably have a whole different word, or maybe they don't even have like a system to kind of separate each other, because apparently that's what we do in America is separate and conquer, highly divide,
individually,
yeah. divide and conquer.
Well, I don't know exactly which places have it differently, mm-hmm. but it can vary. I just don't know where.
Yeah. Okay.
Another reason that there are generations is so that we use it actually to market.
Mm.
It's used heavily.
Marketing?
Almost exclusively for marketing purposes.
Wow.
But I think, and makes this sense. It does make great sense. But also, it tends to miss a little bit of the mark, because what happens when you start making these names and it's that generalization starts to happen. So you generalize a demographic or a generational demographic. You say, well, boomers like this and that, and they mm-hmm. value this and that. Mm-hmm. Same with millennials. But a lot of us aren't like this and that.
Yeah.
Or value mm-hmm. this and that. So where they kind of miss, and there are a lot of like, we fall through the cracks of their marketing schemes.
Yeah.
So, but
yeah, because there's a lot of stuff that I'm like sometimes even don't agree with.
Of course.
That is like marketed for the younger millennials. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, why are they doing that? And then the millennials that they are, you know, when they're targeting, they're like, woohoo, I want that product, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's definitely like certain values that are pinned to each generation. Mm-hmm. So, and they all have to do with, again, like how they were raised, what they experienced, like global events.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Basically what shapes you. So like boomers just after World War II, mm-hmm. but before Vietnam. Mm-hmm. So they kind of lived in this like bubble of like peace and calm, generally speaking.
This is the boomers?
Yeah.
Okay.
There was a Cold War, but of course that's not like...
It wasn't
bad.
A world war.
Yeah. There was just like the scare of a nuclear attack.
Oh, that's nothing.
I mean, it's generally known, like they teach you this kind of stuff in high school, mm-hmm. that like, well, when we were in high school, that boomers were like a bunch of dads came back from the war.
Yeah.
And they were fucked up because no one knew what PTSD was.
Oh, right.
So there was a lot of that like... American dream, yet there was a lot of suffering in the household because mm-hmm. like all this mental illness.
Yeah, daddy screams at night.
Yeah, and mom stayed home. Apparently, there was this culture of like babies are special and blah blah blah. But also at the same time, I don't believe that. I think there was a lot of like carefree, like let them be, let Junior be in the pen for 10 hours.
Yeah, let's smoke in their faces and not put seatbelts on them or even in a car seat.
Yeah, and again, they didn't know any better. I guess. But still,
that wasn't a judgment. It was just funny how that happened, mm-hmm. and now we like know a little better, so we do a little better.
Yeah. So they grew up in this like kind of bubble, and since there were just so many of them, then they started to consume and consume and consume. And they would like actually like make up a large part of, like, the wealth in the world, which makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. your grandmas, your grandpas, they were taught to save because their parents went through the Great Depression. Great
Depression, yeah.
So, you've got a lot of savers.
Gotta squirrel it away.
Yeah. But at the same time, they like to spend the money that they worked so hard to earn. So, these are the kind of, like, generalizations that happen, which a lot of it is mm-hmm. true. And if we're talking about Americans, it's double true. So I also, reading all of this stuff, I mm-hmm. noticed that there were very big differences between generations in general. So let's talk about millennials.
Yeah.
How, and zennials. Zennials to millennials, like, or old millennials, mm-hmm. like us, that were born in 84, 85.
83, woman.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, yeah. Wait. Oh, yeah. 83? Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
how did you not know that?
I don't know. I just, in my head, that's what popped up. But yes, of course I know you're 2 years older than me. Okay. Mm-hmm. 83, 85. Mm-hmm. And a little bit older. So, like, we are the generation that we grew up knowing about computers. Like, as we're coming of age, we know mm-hmm. of computers. They're in our schools and or at least we have a computer and an internet connection.
Mm-hmm.
Most Americans. That really takes away a lot of, like, low socioeconomic populations.
Yeah. But still. Although we didn't have one until, like,
95. But that's, yeah, 94, 95. I don't remember 95.
Having a computer at home when I was in high school.
We definitely did.
We did?
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe I mean, didn't use it because I didn't do my homework.
Yeah. And you know how I know is because I started playing video, like, computer games.
Wow.
In when I was 9 or 10. So yeah. We definitely had it when we were.
And this is why my typing stopped. It wasn't until I went to Western, which wasn't even right after I graduated, because I still went to, like, community college first, and then I did fashion,
mm-hmm.
and then I went to Western. And that's where I learned to type fast because of AIM, because I was chatting with my friends.
Oh, my God.
I know, right? Isn't that crazy?
Is it the way you were, like, taught in school? Because you came to Barrington mm-hmm. when we moved here.
Yeah. That's when I first got introduced to computers. Because back where we lived in Cicero, that we didn't have computers. You kidding mm-hmm. me?
No.
And then in middle school over here, I honest to God don't remember us having, like, a computer class or anything like that. It was just still regular school. So I don't think we started playing with computers until I was in high school. And it was those little ones, those with, like, the black screen and the green thing.
And you stick a floppy disk that at that point weren't floppy anymore, but they were hard disks, but they were still like 2x2 or 4x4 inches or whatever it was.
Something like that.
I remember we got a computer when I was around 9-ish.
Mm-hmm.
I remember how painstaking it was to acquire it. My mom did research until the moon and back. She took for fucking ever to decide on which kind, how big, how small, the RAM, the color. Like, I was just like, buy one already. I was so itchy. I don't even remember why I so, like, wanted it so bad, probably mm-hmm. for the games. But
I didn't even know they had games. Are you kidding me? Then I would have definitely been playing on there.
At this point, I was just like, I don't care. And I remember it was just such a big point that she mm-hmm. had to get the black computer because it's easier on the eyes. and they had the computer in their bedroom.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I don't even know where the games came from, but they were on floppy disks. And one of them was like, you get to be a doctor and, like, with the mouse, you click.
Oh, I remember that. On the diseases. Yeah.
You click on the little, like, bacteria and you're, uh-huh. like, zapping it. There's a dinosaur one. I don't remember what happens in the dinosaur one, but there was dinosaurs. Wow. Anyway.
See, I don't remember where the computer was. Like, none of that rings a bell.
Yeah. Well, I started having, like, homework that I had to type out and stuff mm-hmm. in middle school.
Yeah,
and, like, I was, but that's the big thing that you missed
mm-hmm.
because they started teaching us how to type in elementary school.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, so you missed what would have been that.
Yeah, because I don't remember having, maybe towards the end of high school, yes, but, like, those first 2 years, I don't remember having to have homework mm-hmm. turned in, typed out.
Well, it tracks.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when I was in middle school, that's when I had started getting homework that I was typing out.
Yeah.
So if I was in middle school, you would have been in high school.
Yeah. But you know what? Now it's starting to come back. So I think it was mostly, like, the end, the last 2 years or so. Because I do start remembering, like, the whole, it has to be double spaced, then, you know, 12 point
and also,
font.
they didn't take no for an answer because you could go to the library if you didn't have a computer.
Oh.
You were expected to have it typed. And if you didn't have a computer at home, go to the library and check out a computer.
What? You could take one home?
No, excuse me. Like, you know, set up a time and...
Oh, right. Schedule your little computer time.
Yeah. Remember all that?
I do remember that.
Listen and learn, kids. Listen and learn. Yeah. This is how hard we had to work for our computer time. Yep. Our screen time.
Yep.
Cost us something.
Sorry, yeah. So we went on a big old computer tangent.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
So that was a more personal story. But yeah, so okay.
What the fuck were we talking about?
I'm sorry. I was just so flabbergasted that the computers were. So yeah, we experienced us earlier or millennials.
As children, as young children.
We experienced life without all screens. Of this technology.
Yes.
Yeah.
The most screen we would get was a television that was, it could have been, I don't remember if it was black and white or color.
No, probably it was color.
But they were still really big TVs, like honking, square blocks. and then after that, it was just like computers, but that's it. Like billboards were still just like a picture. It wasn't digital images.
So that blind you when you're driving down the highway.
Yeah. We had to call our friends on a landline and
that was cool.
That's the biggest difference between the older, millennials / zennials and the later millennials and the Gen Z.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the screens and how
telephones and all that.
Yeah, and how to connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the biggest difference. And of course, it's starting to become a more obvious conversation of why this Generation Z is more lonely because they don't have those connection skills. Uh-huh. So it's not a secret, but also it is a thing and it's kind of a scary thing and a real thing.
Yeah. Cause that's going to affect relationships in the future for them. co-working, romantic.
Yeah.
I don't know. Children. I really don't know. I'm just saying things now.
Oh, I remember what I was saying about so I'm reading about all these generations and how they're very, they're generalized. Like boomers are like this. Zennials are like this. Millennials are like this. Gen Zs are like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a lot of this stuff doesn't really track. Most of it does. So for millennials, it's we're entitled. We think we're special. We care more about our individualistic needs and how we have these two different personalities are what we put out on our screens and what our life actually is dating is very different for us. And again, little slight differences because some of us build a lot of our relationships post screens, post Facebook and Tinder and Grindr and all that stuff.
Okay.
So most of our relationships that we build that last today, that mean something, the connections that we've made were before all that.
Yeah.
So our connections are different than the ones that were made
through screens. Okay.
So all those things that they say about us that we're selfish and blah, 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 a lot of it didn't really feel like it tracked with us.
Mm-hmm.
I was the first thing that came to my mind was well, you weren't a minority then.
Yeah.
Or at least specifically us.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't grow up with my face on a cake, for my birthday. Yeah. I wasn't told that I was special.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Sesame Street told me that.
Aww.
But our parents didn't coddle us in the slightest. No. Are you kidding? We were entitled?
No.
Entitled to fucking what?
Yeah, your chores.
Yeah, entitled to your chores, motherfucker. Oh my God. So I was wow, how much of this is different? And if you're living in the United States where Hispanics are a large population, you are kind of overgeneralizing.
Sure.
By a big margin. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how that works out, but that's just something that I noticed
because
I'm I don't really feel entitled. I know I'm a little bit spoiled because of the privileges that we've had.
Mm-hmm.
And also my personality. Yeah. I feel I'm pretty self-involved, but I don't think you are. I don't think our family is. Of our generation.
Right.
A lot of those things just didn't track.
Right.
Not to say that all Americans are that way either. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that was a big thing that I noticed. So I don't know where I was going with that. Oh, there was this fun article with this chick that was in her like late 20s. And she's like, millennials really are the worst. And she goes and describes all the ways that, like, for example, in her workplace, she's like, her friends pick on her for like, what, like commuting to work. Cause what? Supposedly like when it comes to work, millennials value work-life balance.
Okay.
They value, good. Like, I guess, like, you know, being able to work from home. If they get, like, a stereotype is that if they get bored, they're going to quit. Ooh. I mean, a lot of this does track.
A little bit, yeah.
I mean, well, because our values are different. Mm-hmm. We want to work smarter, not harder. And since we grew up, well, we became of age where we, all these opportunities just exploded yeah. with apps. We're mm-hmm. like, why the fuck would you let your life be harder when it can be easier?
Yeah.
Like, you can get the same kind of work or the same quality of work doing it this way mm-hmm. instead of that way.
Yeah.
So employers, who a lot of them are either millennials, zennials, or some of them boomers, mm-hmm. are like...
Gen X, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gen X. They don't... They're like, it's such a different work ethic to them. They don't, they think that it's, yeah, they think that it's selfish that we would want work-life balance.
Yeah. So how like, dare you want to have fun at your job? What?
Yeah. So we have flipped the script of wanting to do the fun things because we value fun.
Yeah.
Now, while we still can enjoy them mm-hmm. awake. Exactly. Rather than in our retirement years.
Yeah.
So there's that big difference, and they're saying that it's because we were coddled and because of this and that.
No.
But no.
For me, it was because I saw how hard our boomer parents worked for their life, that they didn't have any time yeah. for us, or like we didn't get to do any fun stuff. So it's like, I don't want to go down their rabbit hole of like nose to the ground. Like, you know, life doesn't exist outside of work. You know, it's like you live to work. That's what you do because you want the things in the future, or because you want to be able to take vacations, but then you never do because you have to work.
Yeah. And I mean, we're also more like entrepreneurial and stuff. So there's an article that I read. It was like, yeah, employers kind of are freaked to hire millennials because they're like, well, are you going to be here? Like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And if you're like, well, definitely not here. Not that you would answer that if you want to get the job, but mm-hmm. they kind of are skittish about that. It's also like a big stereotype to think that millennials are computer savvy or tech savvy.
That's I mean, for sure.
Like an app, sure. If it's intuitive, sure. Mm-hmm. But other than that, like I can't make a super complicated spreadsheet.
Yeah.
I can't remember how to make like addition functions
on Excel.
Yeah. Like, yeah, yikes. Either. You know? So.
And thank God for Google.
So there's a lot of stereotypes like we can't get a job. We live with our parents for 30 until we're 30. But mm-hmm. you know, a lot of it is true because mm-hmm. a lot of us who.
Because we value fun. And what do we get to do? You know, mm-hmm. fun requires money sometimes. So if we're not paying, you know, $1,300 in rent, then we get to use that for other fun things.
Yeah, it's true. There's this whole like values versus like reality mm-hmm. that millennials are kind of like missing out on. So like if we're not working a steady full-time job, we can't necessarily have the fun that we want to have.
Chibruzies.
So there's this whole weird thing where it's like, well, what exactly do we do?
Oh, wait, hold on a second.
So this girl's writing this article. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because it's like, yeah, a lot of people that I know are like, because she's like, not all millennials are the same. Mm-hmm. We definitely aren't. Some of us do value hard work and we do want a full-time steady job. Like
yeah.
she had some points of action that millennials can use to turn this bullshit around. And she's one, stop whining. I will definitely agree with her on that. In general, the millennials that I know mm-hmm. and a lot of Americans mm-hmm. complain and they whiny and they complain and they're whiny and complain. And I'm like, and they just like blame everything on the past generation.
On anything but
global
them.
Warming. Yes. So she says, this girl, she's like, by absolving yourself of this any responsibility, you're basically just going around acting like an 8-year-old. That, like, tattletales and complains and doesn't get anything done and doesn't actually accomplish anything. Like, all your whining doesn't accomplish anything. It doesn't fix anything. It doesn't.
Yeah.
So she's like, stop with the whining. Mm-hmm. So that's one action point. Another one, actually sit and talk to someone who has a different opinion than yours.
Ooh.
Don't just berate people and yell at them on the internet for mm-hmm. believing in, like, say, Trump.
Mm-hmm.
She said that she had some friends that were hardcore, like, she called them Bernieistas,
mm-hmm.
like Sandinistas was Bernie Sanders. Yeah. Sandernistas. Oh. That was pretty funny. I had never heard of that term, but I'm sure a lot of people have. The Sandernistas, there was some Facebook group that, and she saw her friend post, if you are voting for Hillary or Trump, or if you believe in them or whatever, I don't want to be your friend.
Whoa.
So she's like, well, that was, you know, pretty extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, I can see why you would not want that. But also, like, sit and have a conversation with people and just listen. Or, like, have someone, like, listen to someone talking about themselves, not you. She was like, I am a millennial, but I do value real conversations face to face, you know, as opposed to just on a screen.
Oh, boy. See, I don't know that I would not want to have a conversation with someone who supported Trump, for example. Like, if even like I would respect the fact that they have their opinion to mm-hmm. think whatever they want and mm-hmm. that how they value him.
Mm-hmm.
But I would not want to sit there and hear that. Like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
You do you. And if we can change the subject or have a relationship that doesn't involve mm-hmm. your beliefs that support Trump, mm-hmm. then cool. We can still be in each other's lives. But mm-hmm. if not, then I don't see the value in my time investment
yeah.
in something I truly, viscerally do not support.
Wow.
You know?
Okay. Yeah.
So maybe I can kind of see how, you know, the whole millennial struggle with that.
Yeah. I just,
millennials, they value their time and their opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. 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 And I don't think there's anything necessarily inherently wrong in some of the values that millennials have. Mm-hmm. It just is. So I'm kind of just reporting.
Yeah. 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 Okay, cool. So what else is on her list of things?
I think there was a third
thing.
I can't remember. There's this book written by Bruce Gibney in 2017 called A Generation of Sociopaths, How the Baby Boomers Betrayed America. Yeah.
I want to read that.
Yeah. So according to Mr. Gibney here, the boomers committed generational plunder.
What?
Pillaging the nation's economy, repeatedly cutting their own taxes, financing two wars with deficits, ignoring climate change, presiding over the death of America's manufacturing core, and leaving future generations to clean up the mess they created.
Whoa.
So that's what this claims. I'd be interested to know a little bit more about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's an example of how they believe that generation messed everything up.
Yeah, the boomers.
So a little bit of fun about how millennials are ruining life for us now.
Okay.
Some things that we have ruined. A list, if you will.
A list. Proceed.
Chain restaurants.
Yeah, I can support that.
Yeah. So, again, back to the values. We support, like, we want to support moral high ground things. Like, green and sustainable mm-hmm. and
eco-friendly.
All that stuff. Yeah. So that is a big selling point. And companies are definitely start like leaning into that.
Of course.
So
because they want money. Yeah. Where's the money going?
I know. Along the same lines, they're like, we're not going to like TGI Fridays anymore. We're going to like the
brunch place down the street.
Right. Know? Exactly. Smaller.
Support your chains. Local entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So they're like, oh no, what do we do? How do we appeal to this generation? Yeah. Cool. Paper napkins.
Definitely.
We don't. What the fuck?
And you know what? I don't know when that happened, but I too, I prefer so much to use a paper towel.
Paper towels, that's what it said, that we prefer paper towels.
And ever since they made them in those like thirds, you know, where you can just grab a sliver.
Yeah.
And for me, I can get like two napkins out of a paper towel, which just ends up using less, you know, than a whole napkin. Even though napkins are usually thinner, I found them still harder to use because they are thinner. So when you want to wipe something off of substance, you like rips through, or you immediately have to like crumple it up and use another one. So it kind of like defeated the purpose for me.
Yeah.
A paper towel is thicker. You could use the whole piece. You could use just the half, you know, and they last at, you know, I have an issue with this.
You know? You find them places?
No. Oh, Christy always makes fun of me for saving them.
Christy's her best friend.
Yeah,
sister.
My sister,
She's our sister.
She's like, why do you have paper towels everywhere? I'm like, okay, well, this one, I just used it like once to wipe my mouth. I can't in good conscience just throw it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially if it's just going to go into the garbage. Maybe if I ball it up into the compost pile, okay. But I can use this again without it being gross, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I can use the other corner. So, yeah.
That's okay.
That's what I think.
Yeah, when we've done that, that's even a family thing. The second time.
I can definitely get on board with millennials killing napkins.
So they'd be worried. And I think, I mean, obviously they've caught on to the trend. That's why they made them in thirds, so that we use just a little bit less each time, because that's what we want. We want a whole paper napkin feel to act as our napkin instead of a napkin. Major hardware stores. So we're making big purchases like homes later in life, and therefore like
they're expensive as shit.
Yeah, well they priced us out of being able to pay for them, and a lot of us graduated college when there was a recession, so we didn't jettison off into our careers. And start saving and having that, like, you know, that security.
Right.
So it's harder for us and it's taking us longer to buy homes and invest and stuff like that. So we're not making repairs to anything. And even the ones that...
That makes sense.
Even if we do, let's say we do have like a steady job and whatever, a lot of millennials are still living with their parents or... communally living or like some other housing arrangement where they don't need to buy.
Yeah. They don't need to build a porch.
Things
or
like that.
Repair a whole door.
Yep.
Wow. That's crazy. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah. You'd never think of some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Movies, like going out to the movies, and that one's pretty easy to guess why.
So expensive. And especially when you have it just in your house.
Yeah. You can watch a movie on Netflix for $3.99. And having
well,
to go
not
out to
technically
the
free, you know, but like for a morsel of what?
Only like 2 cents.
Yeah, when you divvy it up.
Yeah. And having to go watch a movie for $15, even though it is still
it was
very
20
exciting.
Last time we went to AMC out here, the AMC in South Barrington, it was like $20. And then on top of that, if you want to enjoy it with popcorn, which like how can you not have a movie with popcorn at a movie theater?
For me, it's chicken fingers. How can you not go and not get chicken fingers?
It was like $20. Another $20 for
Yikes.
Popcorn.
Wow.
So you end up spending like $50 or $70 to go see a movie when you can watch it for 2 cents at your house.
Poochant.
And you can pause it and go to the bathroom whenever you want.
Yeah. Netflix killed the movie.
The radio star. Movie star.
So lunch,
mm-hmm.
they're killing lunch because we're foregoing lunch for small snacks and snacking. We like to snack.
I know you do.
Snack. I do, but I also like lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take away my fucking lunch.
I know. It's like, can we add more food times instead of taking away?
Yeah, like 11 Z's. Let's get on the UK board here. Board? Let's get on the board.
Do you mean Middle Earth?
That, no. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. Golf.
Oh, yeah. I was just reading about that.
We don't see the point. I definitely don't.
No.
It's a complicated game. It's expensive. Nobody wants to buy the equipment for, like, one game. Like, a ball you can use for several things. Tossing, soccer, But, like, yeah, the golf equipment itself is expensive and only serves one purpose.
Yeah. And then the attire. I read somewhere about, like, the attire you, like, millennials want something that you can wear. It's versatile. You can wear it to different things. And that usually golf attire or some sports attire is, like, just for that one thing.
Mm-hmm. And the game itself, like, the culture of it is exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't, you know, it's not very inviting of different people.
Mm-hmm.
Handshakes, I don't really remember why. I think it was mostly like a workplace thing. Mm-hmm. Most like either you're not there or it's not really focused on meeting people.
I think it's just, it comes down to the whole, they don't really know how to socialize with people. So they find it awkward touching someone else, you know?
I'd say for like the younger millennials. And now it's going to be all of us because of COVID. Yeah,
because of COVID. When was the they're going to be thinking, when was the last time you washed that hand? Yeah.
Ew.
I still see people around me who go into the bathroom and don't wash their hands when they leave. Even if you don't touch your penis, guys.
How do you know that, though?
Because I've seen the men around our lives that walk into a bathroom.
Oh, I thought you meant you've seen some guy at a restaurant go and come out, and how would you know that they did or didn't wash their hands?
Well, usually you can tell if like their hand still glistens. Shaking. Yeah.
If they're still shaking the water off. Vacations.
Mm-hmm.
Ruining vacations.
Why?
This one was very...
This one
was very specific, and I'm thinking maybe even a little bit old.
Because we don't have the money to go on vacation?
Pretty much. It was claiming that in the workplace, we will forego our vacation time.
Mm-hmm.
They call them vacation martyrs. Because we don't want to, either we want to roll it over, or we don't want to seem like the person who takes their, I don't know, something takes their vacation.
Whoa.
I didn't think that weird. That was true. I'm like, I feel like millennials jump on going on vacation.
Any excuse to not work.
Yeah. Speaking of work, I read somewhere, and I think it's true, that millennials would rather have a job that pays $40,000 a year that they really like rather than a job that pays $100,000 a year that they think is boring or soul crushing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think that's true.
Me too. I would.
And I think it's interesting how, like, these stereotypes of, like, we're entitled or, like, we want work-life balance. Some of these things go either way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can make it seem like it's a good thing or a super bad thing. So, like, you know, some people would be like, of course, we have values of we want to spend time with our families. Mm-hmm. How is that bad?
Yeah.
Well, for an employer, it's not so great. They want you there and they want you to like want to be there. Yeah.
But you know, the funny thing is that so much research has been done where when you allow your employees to work less and to have more of a life outside of work, they actually produce better and work more efficiently when they are at work.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a win-win.
Yeah. Hotels.
Why? Why? Because of Airbnb. Yes.
Airbnb. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Plus, they don't change the sheets all the time, and it's super disgusting.
It sure is. Yeah. Change them sheets.
Change them seat hotels. Maybe you'll get a couple of us back.
Wine.
Wine.
Talk to us about that, because I didn't... Yeah. I
read a couple of articles. One was the wine cork. Millennials are killing... or almost killed the wine cork. Okay, so the wine corks started having cork taint, which is, it equals spoiled wine.
Taint?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure I heard that correctly.
Cork taint. But as in like something's tainted, not like a spot on the wine cork.
Right. Sarah. I thought maybe you meant, I thought I heard tanked.
Oh.
Like tincture, but tanked.
Nope.
No, just
cork taint. Spoiled wine. And it comes from chemical compound that is found in the cork. Because it comes, you know, cork is comes from a bark of a tree. So they like punch all these.
They got
like,
stuck on the bark of a tree.
So there's
points if you know what that's from.
This chemical compound is shortened as TCA, which is 2,4,6-trichloroanisole. Yeah, but it's also found naturally in wood, water, soil, fruits, and vegetables.
Okay.
So the cork started to taint the wine and, you know, makes it taste gross and stuff. And so, like, millennials stopped kind of using it, or they would forego a wine with cork to the kind with the screw tops or the plastic plugs. So, and the millennials are actually drinking wine sooner in their lives, like pretty much as soon as they can drink, and they are consuming it like almost daily. I think 19% of millennials drink.
Or just some of our friends.
Yeah, drink wine like daily instead of just like boomers when they would just wait, you know, have fancy a Chardonnay occasion at the end of the week or, you know.
Special occasions.
Exactly. Cool. So yeah, the cork industry kind of went down for a while. But now they've got like this stuff like more in check. And as of 2001, there's been a 95% of reduction in the TCA that they have, they were finding in the cork.
In the cork, yeah.
Yeah, so they got their shit together and have been doing better. Yeah. And then there was also this misconception, because you know how millennials love to like worry about the environment and all this stuff. So there was a misconception that cork was gotten from trees. Was gotten from trees.
It'd be goth.
By chopping them down. But that's not the case, actually.
They trim it? Is it like a little nail trim for the tree?
The production of cork is a carbon negative process, which I was surprised to learn that whatchamacallit, that vocabulary, carbon negative. I've never heard of anything like that. So apparently 7 million acres of cork forest around the Mediterranean offset 20 million tons of CO2 each year. Wow. Which I was like, that's pretty cool. And then the trees are not cut down. They don't cut the trees. The cork is taken from the bark. So I don't know if you've ever seen a video. Like you should YouTube it. It's actually pretty cool. They take the bark off, kind of like a big wrapping paper, and then they punch holes in the shapes of the corks. And then they later stamp them with like whatever the wine bottle or whatever name. Awesome. So they're not cut down. It's only the bark that's removed and it grows back.
Mm-hmm.
And
like a little nail trim.
Yeah, exactly. And it's harvested again a decade later after the, you know, more bark grows and all this other stuff. And then they say that stripping the bark also enhances its ability to absorb carbon dioxide, which I'm like, I'm no tree doctor here.
But how would it?
Yeah, no, I mean, I can see it. I can see how that's how that could be true, that it helps it absorb it more. But I'm also wondering if you're taking, I mean, the bark is there for a reason. Otherwise, it wouldn't grow it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, are they just saying that to kind of get your mind like
on board?
Yeah. Or is it going to be like, yeah, it's like absorbing carbon dioxide, but you've taken away its bark, which is like the filter so that it doesn't absorb it at like super fast or for whatever purpose. But anyway, I mean, the rest of the information is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, cork is kind of making a little comeback
mm-hmm.
now with all this information, because they saw that they needed to market or at least put out the more accurate information.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, oh man, these millennials don't miss a thing.
Yeah.
So,
That's another thing that we consume big on reviews.
Mm-hmm.
We like to consult with our people that we trust that have used a product before.
Yep.
I mean, I will definitely say that is true.
Yeah.
Even for us Mexicans.
Yeah. Which, that brings us to the wine part of the little research I did. Because wine was on the list of the things that millennials have killed. And I was like, what? How? If they're drinking so much of it.
You mean cork.
Yeah. And even the article even said, like, no, they're not killing, you know, wine drinking.
We're changing it.
They're changing the way it's done. Yeah.
The way it's consumed.
Millennials, again, are drinking it from a younger age. And they're sticking with it for, like, as they grow. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Which you'd think would be the opposite. You just, like,
like, oh, we tried it, but no, they're like, oh, yeah, this can age with us.
Yeah, which, like, yeah, so, like, sommeliers and, you know, like, wine people were all, like, kind of up their nose about it, but then they're like, I guess.
No, but that is one
they
of
have
the
to get on board.
One of the aspects of wine drinking that they are kind of killing is the sommeliers, because millennials aren't really caring about, like, this grape is from the blah-bitty blah-bitty of this with these notes of that. They just kind of want the story of,
maybe.
The article was saying that they want the story of the wine or mm-hmm. the wine package. Like, mm-hmm. you know, sure. hey, you know, like we started sure. our little wine barreling thing, you know.
In the back blah, of a blah, truck.
Blah. Exactly. Yeah. 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 So they want the story of it and they don't really care as to the quality too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, as
yeah.
long as it's not going to like.
It tastes like wine.
Yeah. 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 So like Trader Joe's, like their cheapy little bottles and stuff. They're fine with that. They don't really care to. Mm-hmm. To get the really super fancy bottles or anything like that. Or that it has a cork.
Yep. And it's very true, all mm-hmm. of that.
Yeah, but boomers continue to be the largest demographic of wine consumers in North America at 43% of the market.
Boomers.
But millennials are right up there at 24%. So they're catching up. They're catching up. And then, so they're not killing wine. They're just reshaping it the way mm-hmm. that they drink.
Right, millennials also ruined relationships. Just for obvious reasons. Apps and dating apps and more dating apps. Oh. And despite what the trend says about like casual hookups and stuff like that, most millennials still say that they want a serious relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's terrifying. It's that the dating world uh-huh. out there is oh, yeah. terrifying.
Yep. That's why I don't like it. I would honestly rather get a job with like a lot of employees to meet someone that way than to use an app.
Oh my
That's God. How much I'm so uncomfortable with them. And I've tried them so many times, but they're just, no. Anyway, I'm not even going to delve into that.
Yeah, they are, ugh. And we should delve into it. Let's delve.
We can make a whole other episode on it.
Got it. Write it down. Take it. Bag them.
So another thing that millennials have killed is the flat sheet. Okay. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you are definitely a millennial.
Yeah.
So the flat sheet is a bedding. Your bedding comes with the fitted sheet, which is the one that goes on your mattress. Mm-hmm. And then there's a flat sheet. Almost all packets of, you know, bedding come with that. And then like maybe two pillowcases. Mm-hmm. Companies mm-hmm. are starting to package it differently where it's yeah. just the fitted sheet and the two pillowcases. And then if you want a flat sheet, if you're a boomer or a Gen X, then you can buy your flat sheets separately.
Fuck that.
I know. It's like, what if I want to make a costume with the flat sheet? Just give it to me.
A costume.
So yeah, they're like foregoing the flat sheet and just like sleeping with their duvet or a blanket.
No.
And the reasons that I read in the articles is mm-hmm. because one, it's just like harder to make your bed if they even mm-hmm. bother to make their bed. Yeah, but and the reason, okay, the couple people that I know who don't use a flat sheet, it's because they love, now that there's like so many types of blankets out there, they love how it feels to have the soft blanket like right up against them. You know, it's yeah. way more cozy and warm, I can feel that. And stuff. But, you know, a flat sheet serves its purpose. Like, mm-hmm. it's for hygiene, yeah.
And that too.
More than anything, you know, because it also helps with body temperature control.
Yeah.
But it definitely helps with hygiene. I mean, you mm-hmm. you spend a third of your mm-hmm. life in bed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where, like, all your body oil, your hair, your
sweat.
Your body mites. Yeah, like, all these dead skin cells billions. That flake off in the middle of the night as you toss and turn.
Wee.
Crotch juices.
Ew. Okay. It's a drool. Let's just agree that it's a cesspool.
Yes, it's a cesspool that you are sleeping in. You're just laying on a... Yeah. So if you have a flat sheet, it's just easier to clean that on a more regular basis, weekly, bi-weekly, sure. whatever, you know.
Yeah.
As often
you're
as possible.
You're supposed to then, weekly.
Yeah. Then like a whole entire duvet or mm-hmm. or a blanket.
I agree.
You know? Because...
Yeah.
Ew. Yeah. 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 So use a flat sheet at least, or I guess, you know, clean your blankets more often.
Right.
Because did you know that some mattresses end up weighing double?
Ugh, double.
Hold on a second. I've got the info here. It was disgusting. It doubles in mattress weight, I think, after 10 years or at 10 years about.
That is disgusting.
It is really super gross from just like all the...
Nope.
Yep.
I'm going to nope that. I'm going to
And that was from the American Council on Science and Health.
Blah.
So, yeah.
What do they know?
What do they know?
Oh.
Yeah. So yeah, the argument about like about it taking longer to make the bed. I mean, I can kind of see that. It's so annoying making a bed. Mm-hmm. And the and actually science is on board with the whole not making your bed,
because I do remember that.
It lets like the bed cool off, you know, you don't, you know, and
you don't create more mites.
More bacteria and all that. Yeah. Yeah. If it were up to me, I would just be logical. Like, okay, well then get out of your bed and then you know, go potty, do some things, and then make your bed. Hmm. I don't know. I think I'm having an issue with it mostly just because I started making my bed last year, like to try and make a habit of it, because I do like how I feel more like productive. Like looking over at my bed, it's like, okay, cool. It's done. It's neat. I can like put things on top to organize and whatever.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So it makes me feel more like a little better. So then when I started, you know, reading that, it's like better to not make your bed. And I'm like, oh, what now? I just can't win.
I know. Yeah.
At my bed in my house, I do have a flat sheet. But at my bed here at my parents' house, I don't have a flat sheet. But you know why? It's because I do really like how the cover is so soft. Like, well, I mean, there's been softer, but that is pretty soft. And it's cozy.
Yeah. Well, especially that one. It's it's a special kind of soft.
It's like fleecy in a way.
Remember that? Well, I still have it. It's that sheet. It is a fitted and flat sheet set, but it's like fuzzy. It's like a, it's like almost a flannel? Like a blanket. No, it's like a blanket. The one that's too hot for everyone else but me. I love that thing. Yeah. I love it. And during the winter, it's like the best, most amazing thing. Because you know that you're using a sheet.
Yeah.
But it feels like a blanket.
It does. Oh, it's so thick.
It's amazing. I love it. Not the best. I just want those.
I look at that and I'm like, I start sweating immediately. And they say that you should sleep at a temperature like in your room at 68 degrees because your body rests better in a colder environment.
That's what I hear. But when my nose gets cold, there's no sleeping happening. And then actually that happened last night. I was cold, which is weird because like I haven't been cold in a while in that room. I usually warm up in the covers after a while. But last night I kept getting cold and not having the energy to want to get up and do something about it. The most I did was just put some pants on. I had shorts.
Oh.
But anyway, millennials ruin everything. Millennials have a shitty week. Everything. JK. But seriously.
So yeah. That it? That's good. Yeah. I wrapped up with that blanket.
Okay. Oh.
Nice.
Yeah. We ruin everything. We ruined everything. But also, did we though?
Nah.
Did we?
We're just making shit better.
We are.
Yeah. And the one of the articles that we read had 70 items of things that millennials ruined. So guess what, listeners? We're going to be having an Instagram series of things millennials ruined, because there's no way we could go. Each one of those things had an article, like pages long.
70 articles.
Yeah. So
70 like, times just, 5 is... anyone's guess.
A lot of reading.
3,500.
Don't move. Don't math.
I'm going to see if that was right.
Ugh. Anyway, we're going to be doing Instagram, Facebook videos of the things millennials ruined. So it'll be fun. So what's the number?
350. Not 3,500.
I told you not to math, you
idiot. I tried to math.
Stupid. All right. Well, that was our episode today. Tell us what you feel.
Or don't.
No, yeah, tell us what you feel.
Or else we're going to complain about it.
Yeah. Mom, they're not listening to my episode.
Let me coddle you. Not.
All right. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
For listening.
Thank you.
Have a shitty week.